They grow a lot of it around here. They grow a lot of it in California. And they grow a lot of it in France. They're all my friends' kids, all of them smart as heck. None of them managed to become a rocket scientist, and that's what I always wanted to be, but I wasn't smart enough.
So you want her to be one?
I want her to be one. She's like my last best hope. If you've ever said there ought to be a law, you're probably a liberal.
Baby, check this out.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max.
And this is episode 129 of the award-winning, show-stopping podcast of record, Countless Screaming Argonauts. Today is Monday, March the 1st, 2010. And Max, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm drinking a little champagne.
Ooh.
A little sparkling wine today.
While we were in New Mexico, we found a wine, by the way.
Yeah?
That's made out there. A red wine. Now, you know me and red wine. I don't like red wine very, very much.
Okay.
But we found a red wine that was absolutely scrumptious.
Wow.
You say that about wine.
Scrumptious.
Yep.
That's pretty strong language.
It's called Viva La Roja. It's made by Heart of the Desert Winery in just outside of Las Cruces. Actually, Alamogordo. And, grow their own grapes, and it's a varietal blend. It's three varieties of grapes that are blended to make a red wine, and it was excellent.
Well, I'm a little surprised because I don't know anything about wine except they grow a lot of it around here. They grow a lot of it in California, and they grow a lot of it in France, a lot of grapes for those wineries, and they're all relatively wet areas.
Yeah, well, Las Cruces Well, that whole area, southern New Mexico, has a lot of wineries. There are several.
Doesn't make any sense.
And it's growing. They're doing real, real well. As a matter of fact, this Heart of the Desert won an award for best wine or second best and first best wine, a couple of different varieties.
I think it's morally wrong. It can't be right.
Well, I'm going to save you some.
Yeah.
I would have put it right next to those beer bottles. Still
the Blue Canary, which right? I still haven't had any of. Yeah, what happened to Booth Boy there?
Well, he changed his plans on me.
I guess.
He's coming home in a couple of weeks. And yeah. I will definitely
and he'll be not bringing me any beer on the way back either.
Speaking of beer, quick update.
Okay.
Northampton, one of our favorite towns.
Right, we like it.
Because it was where Countless Screaming Argonauts was
Born in the beer,
was just named by a website, a travel website, as one of the 24 greatest cities in the world for drinking beer.
Cool. We concur with our
absolutely
limited expertise.
Absolutely. The summary says you'd be hard-pressed to find an establishment that doesn't have at least one beer you've never tried. There's plenty of street performers to entertain you as you travel from site to site. And a short drive takes you from the center of the city to the Northampton Brewery to cap off your visit.
And that's where we went, right?
That's where we were.
And I like college towns. I don't know how to say this without sounding like an old fart, but, you know, I like to hang out where the young people are.
You sound like an old fart, Max.
Yeah. I like the energy. I think kids are interesting. I like the whole vibe of a college town. I like the idea of people learning, smart people around, you know.
Sure. Hey, that was one of the reasons why we like Las Cruces, because it has New Mexico State University there.
And are there smart people in New Mexico?
They're smart. Do you know that in New Mexico, there are more PhDs per capita than any state in the union?
I did not know that. I thought
it's because of NASA and because of the missile range.
I thought your state had the most. Your state has the highest estimated IQ average.
Well, that may be, but I guess New Mexico does real well on the graph.
On the smart people, but they all want to blow shit up.
Well, that's, you know, doesn't matter what your PhD is in. A PhD is a PhD, right?
I'm thinking no. I like the history teachers better than the
scientists.
Well, I'm all for
NASA. It's NASA.
Oh, okay. I'm all for NASA. I was telling our friend Manhattan Man's daughter just the other day that I hope she gets a job at JPL. That all of my friends' kids, all of them smart as heck, none of them managed to become a rocket scientist, and that's what I always wanted to be, but I wasn't smart enough.
So you want her to be one?
I want her to be one. She's like my last best hope to get a rocket scientist. So
okay, all right.
If you're listening out there, become a rocket scientist or a ballerina. Either one is acceptable.
Okay, two more quick updates.
Okay.
The first one, way back in episode 56.
Wow.
You and I talked about how – well, at least I talked about the fact that I thought that some of the people who didn't evacuate after Hurricane Katrina should have been held responsible for
the charges.
Costs. Yes.
Yeah, that's a growingly popular theory, I think.
It is. Well, Tracy, California now has it set up so that residents will have to pay if they call 911 for medical emergencies.
Well, fuck them.
You either pay a $48 fee for a whole year's worth, which lets you call it as often as possible, or often as necessary, not possible, often as necessary, or there is a $300 charge if you have to make a call for help.
See, that's not good. We got into politics before, and I really don't want to spend a lot of time on politics right now, but I'm a liberal, and I believe that the government – to some degree, should be looking after the people. If you've ever said there ought to be a law, you're probably a liberal. Mm-hmm. I think that there are certain basic things like calling 911 that should not have a fee attached. I don't like this. I think it's inhibiting people from getting medical care when they need to, and it doesn't sound like a good idea to me.
Well, you know, I way back in 56 and on my blog, I expressed my opinion about it. I believe that in the situation where you either don't follow the request, like when they say,
well, it's different. Yes.
If you evacuate,
if there's a mandatory evacuation and you stay in and somebody has to put a boat in the water to get you off your roof, that's different.
Right.
But if you're having a heart attack and you're thinking about $300, then fuck that law.
Well, what about if you said that if it was a frivolous 911 call?
Different. Okay, I'll grant you that. But that obviously opens a can of worms in itself.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you have there's always internet dumb, not so dumb stories about somebody who calls because they didn't have fries at McDonald's or because their Whopper wasn't well done or.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. Asshole 911 calls deserve to be charged. But I don't want people not calling 911 and dying because they don't have $300.
Right. Well, I agree with you there, and that's, you know, they gotta work something better out for that. That issue.
All right, then we agree.
All right, final one, final update. Here we go. And I, you know, God bless him, Pat Robertson. Just he opens his mouth, and we have 45 minutes of countless screaming Argonauts material.
And he's got stupidity going.
Okay, you know that he talked all about the Haiti earthquake.
Yeah,
earthquakes must be his deal.
Is he blaming Chile on
– Absolutely. This is a quote. Something happened a long time ago in Chile, and the people might not want to talk about it.
No. Did they make another deal with the devil?
They were under the heel of the democratically elected socialist regime of Salvador Allende, and they got together and swore a pact to the Chapora.
Oh, is that the devil?
It's the devil goat.
Oh, yeah. I like the devil goat. He's the one that walks around with a Woody all the time.
I believe so.
There's a Tom Robbins book about that. I forget which one it is, but you definitely have to read that because he's really cool.
I think I probably did.
Yeah.
We will serve – they said, we will serve you if you set us free from this man and – it happened, and he said, true story, and the devil said, okay, it's a deal. And ever since then, they've been cursed by one thing or another.
You know it's true if Pat Robertson says true story.
Right, well, he went on to say that it was no coincidence that the quake took place near the city of Concepcion. And it was obviously a part of God's plan to eradicate the right of women worldwide to have access to reproductive facilities and medical procedures.
Does he know what Concepcion means?
I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't understand what earthquakes mean. How could he understand something as complex as that?
Dear Pat, let me tell you about subduction zones.
Oh, man.
You know.
All right. Enough of this garbage.
All right.
Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, it's just there's the Ring of Fire and plate tectonics and science. Hello, science. Anybody out there?
Going, I thought you were going Dante's Inferno for a second.
Oh, no. That would be good, though.
Because that's where he belongs.
He belongs in a place where they tie your hands behind your back. In one of those straitjackets, not behind you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I got you.
I'm deep into the champagne already.
Oh, I could tell. I could tell. All right, listen. Let's take a step back from your champagne, and let's talk about maybe something a little bit more serious.
All right. Well, I was listening to the Kevin Smith episode 106 Smodcast. People may or may not know about the story. Kevin Smith, the director of Clerks and a whole bunch of other movies, and including a movie called Chasing Amy, which you don't want your kids to watch. It's pretty vulgar. All of Kevin Smith's stuff is vulgar, but some of it's really good. Anyway, he's my hero because he said, let's make a movie, and then he made a movie, and now he's a big Hollywood guy. I like him. I kind of stopped listening to Smodcast for a while because, I don't know, he's just... He talks about boning people up the ass and rim jobs and all this stuff. And after a while, yeah, I like to think
you can take just so much of that, right?
Yeah, you know, I think he's trying to prove how not gay he is. I don't know. Anyway, but I think he tells an excellent story. He's really funny. And he told a story about his misadventure on Southwest Airlines where he was required to exit the plane because they said – you have to listen to him tell the story. I recommend listening to Smodcast 106. Basically, they threw him off the plane for being fat, which, if you know Kevin Smith, he's not that big. He's big like I'm big, but he's taller. Apparently, the unwritten rule, the thing that people always cite is, can you put the arm of the chair down? And if you can, then you can fit in the seat and you can fly. And he tells this story, and he talks about how he typically buys two seats because he's fucking Kevin Smith, and he likes to be comfortable. He doesn't need two seats. He can buy two seats. Right. It's Southwest Airlines, and he's Kevin Smith. And if you don't know, he's produced, directed, and starred in 6 or 7 Hollywood movies. So he typically buys three seats, gets the front row, and he and his wife sit there. So he wanted to get home from a trip to Macworld, and he went standby, and they only had one seat for him. They put him on the plane, and then they asked him to stand up and get off the plane because there was a safety issue. They never said, you're too fat. They wouldn't use the word fat, but they made him get off the plane. And the reason was because
he was blocking the exit, right?
He was sitting between two skinny ladies.
Okay.
He wasn't blocking anything, and he was just about to close his seatbelt. And when he got on a later Southwest flight, having bought two seats, he was able to buckle the seatbelt. And he talks about a young lady who was seated in his row on the second flight, who's requested to get up and has a conversation, secret conversation with the stewardess, who then tells her, you need to go ask this man's permission if it's all right to sit in the seat next to the seat that he's sitting in because he owns that seat. And he makes a second podcast where he talks to the young lady and he tells her how bad he feels for her because she is humiliated by the guy too, by the airline, sorry. And he also mentions in the story about seeing this guy who is bigger than he is in the first flight, whose eyes are like wide open. He's like, don't give me up. Don't say it. And he doesn't say anything, but he's like, that guy got on the plane, and I didn't get on the plane. And he gets on Twitter after having walked off the plane at their request. He didn't make a big scene. And he twits like mad, and he's making this podcast, and he is swearing up a storm, which if you know Kevin Smith, he swears up a storm anyway.
Right, uh-huh.
And he's just ripping Southwest Airlines. And they offer him $100 against his next ticket. And he's like, you fucking think my pride is worth $100?
Right.
There's no way. I'm never flying Southwest again. And you can take your $100 and shove it where the sun don't shine. So anyway, that's the story. And I thought it was interesting and compelling the way he told it. For the first like hour of his podcast, after a while he just started kind of going over the same stuff. And Bill Maher is talking about him, and he runs a little promo for his show, which is you can download a little video promo, which is titled Kevin Smith plays a character in his movies called Silent Bob, and Bill Maher writes a promo for his own show, his own podcast, his Friday Night Show's podcast, called Silent Blob, where he pretty much says Kevin Smith should shut up.
Uh-huh.
And personally, having seen Kevin Smith sort of out there, I don't think he's that big. And I'm wondering why Bill Maher has to go there.
Well, that's an interesting thought, because when you wrote that to me in the email, that was my response to you. Since when
is Bill Maher the
whole opinion. Let me tell you a personal story related to this.
All right.
When I was getting ready to fly, and I hate to keep saying go to Las Cruces.
You don't really hate it that much.
But anyway, so when we were going to do that, I'm a big guy.
You're a big guy, no question.
And I was concerned about
– you're bigger than Kevin Smith.
Okay,
I was concerned about that.
So I did a little research.
Yeah.
And what I found out was, interestingly, and I would have said this before you brought this whole thing up, was that Southwest Airlines is considered to be the worst in terms of the way that they treat this situation.
And he calls it the bus of the air.
And they mentioned two specific things in the complaints. And one of them was the exact one that you talked about. The fact that it seemed like there were some people who were targeted and others who weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing they talked about was the fact that they made people request of other people if they could sit in a seat.
Yeah. And he says the stewardess told this girl, you have to ask his permission to sit next to the seat that he bought.
Right, right, right. And, well, interestingly, one of the people that I read this complaint about said that they were not going to make a big stink. So they went out and they bought a second seat.
Mm-hmm.
And Southwest Airlines didn't put it right next to their first seat. They put
it
on the plane.
Oh, no.
And then tried to get the person kicked off.
Wow.
And this woman went absolutely berserk. And eventually, I guess they didn't. But that's what I've heard, that Southwest Airlines is the absolute worst for the way that they treat people in that kind of a situation. So when we were looking for flights, I knew there was no way that I was going Southwest.
Yeah. Well, they say that, and I don't know anything about flying on airlines, as you may well know, that Southwest is sort of not reserve seating, first come, first serve. Apparently, other airlines are reserve seating. You get a seat, mm-hmm. and you go. So have you ever had to buy a second seat?
No, but I don't fly all that much.
Yeah. And he flies all the time, and he flew Southwest.
Right. We were on an American Airlines plane, and I was able to sit in the seat with the arms down.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no issue as far, you know. And people were very, very nice to me anyway.
Yeah.
So.
And he's thinking – maybe somebody doesn't like my movie.
Well, that would certainly bring up a possibility, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If they do that?
He thinks it was the guy at the gate. Because the woman at the desk went back, and he ran into her a couple of times. He tells the whole story sort of chronologically, and how he tried to get compensation. I'm not sure what the word I want is for his second ticket because he was now flying standby and only had one seat.
Right.
And the woman from the counter came on the plane and said, "Excuse me, sir, we have these issues concerning safety." And she wouldn't use the word fat under any circumstance.
Right, right.
And well, he got mad. He wanted her name. He wanted the name of the pilot. She told him that the pilot saw him and said he couldn't fly.
Uh-huh.
And he said he couldn't see the pilot. How could the pilot see him?
Right.
I don't know. It was fascinating listening to him, though.
I bet.
He just got lit up. He got more and more pissed off. And then when he found out on the second flight that this girl had been treated the same way or even worse, to have to ask someone's permission to sit next to an empty seat just seems vulgar. Honestly.
Absolutely. Well, it just goes to show you. I mean, you know, the one thing I learned in this trip was the fact that, you know, basically airlines they're cattle cars.
Yeah.
You know, and I can think of a lot better things that I would rather do than seal myself in a steel tube.
And shoot across the sky.
35,000 feet in the air going 600 miles an hour. I mean, root canal or
is that right?
Hemorrhoidectomies come to mind as something that I would prefer to do myself.
But. Yeah. But I don't know. So anyway, I was a Kevin Smith fan. I still am a Kevin Smith fan. He's got over 1 million Twitter followers, and he just lit them up.
Well, you know, I hope their business suffers because of it. It's not fair to treat people
that way.
Not when you're a service provider.
That's kind of what my feeling was, too. But I wanted to run it by you. And
sure. I agree wholeheartedly.
Cool.
All right. Another serious story.
All right.
Back to back. I know that you wanted to talk about this recent orca attack where a trainer was killed.
Yes.
And I'm interested to hear your take on it because I have a couple of issues that I wanted to bring up. So
All right. Go for it. Very quickly, I saw in the news that someone said, you know, we have footage. We're not going to show you. And so I immediately turned the channel because usually they go right up to the edge before the show. Right. And I, unfortunately, my imagination turns out to be worse than what the story was, although the story was bad because – this orca, which is also known as a killer whale, killed its trainer.
Right.
But I just yesterday learned that the animal grabbed the woman by the hair. I figured it bit her in half, which it's capable of. And I didn't want to see it. But my first thought was the animal needs to be destroyed. It's dangerous. I've seen this video of killer whales feeding on seals at a certain time of the year in a certain location on the Discovery Channel. I don't remember what the location was. But they eat these seals. Then they play with some other ones for a while.
Sure,
they toss them up in the air, and they bat them around. And the show suggested that this is the parent killer whales teaching the babies how to hunt. But the interesting thing about that show was at the end there was one baby seal – that had been tossed around, and then the killer whale, like, pushed it up on shore and left it alone, and it lived. They had done what they had to do, and I understand right. In nature, you know, hunting animals have to eat.
Sure.
But my first thought was, this animal needs to be put down. It's dangerous. And I find out it grabbed the woman by her hair and took her under, which might have been mistaken as an act of friendliness or just an accident. I don't know, but it's a $2 million. They said these animals produce $2 million a piece in show revenue, and they're too valuable to put down. I saw this on one show.
And well, okay, go ahead.
So my question is, what's right and wrong here? And I don't really know.
Well, I don't really know either, but I'm going to take a stab at it.
Okay.
Number one, concerning your comment about that it produces $2 million in revenue, how much revenue do you think that football player who was in the dog fighting business,
oh, yeah,
Michael Vick, how much revenue do you think he generated before they took him off of the stage.
Yeah, so a lot. He lost a lot of money.
He lost a lot of money. The team lost a lot of money. So I don't buy, oh, he's worth $2 million in revenue, number one. Number two, if you have a dog, let's say you had a pit bull.
Right.
And that pit bull went and attacked somebody.
The dog has to be put down.
What happens? Right. Now, when I first heard this story about the whale, about this orca, I had the same mixed feelings that you do.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started reading about this particular orca.
Yeah.
All right? And I have some information about it.
Okay. Hit me.
This was from an article that was titled, it was about when the woman was actually identified. And this is what it said. Okay? This whale, Tilikum?
I don't know.
Tilikum. T-I-L-I-K-U-M.
Okay.
Okay, besides this event, in 1991, he was one of three whales that was blamed for killing a trainer at SeaWorld of the Pacific in Victoria, British Columbia.
Hmm.
In July 1999, a man's body was found draped over this whale at Orlando SeaWorld.
Wow.
He supposedly made his way past security at the SeaWorld and either jumped or fell in into the tank, ended up on Tilikum's back.
Okay.
Okay. In 1999, a 27-year-old South Carolina man entered a tank at SeaWorld Orlando after the park and drowned. He was bitten, found dead, and with a bite mark at his waist by Tilikum.
Hmm.
So
he's been involved in or associated with the deaths of four people.
At least. In some way or another. Now, he didn't kill two of them, but he was there.
Interesting.
And I think that when you start talking about stuff like this, I think you have to start thinking, it was wrong to train him and capture him and train him in the first place, but now what you're doing is compounding the error by allowing this situation to occur.
Interesting.
And to me, I'm sorry, but the only other thing I would say would be if you want to let him free in the wild, and we're going to get all kinds of notes from PETA because of this.
Yeah, well, fine.
They're going to say, you've trained him and you've kept him in, and now he can't be out in the wild. But he can't be in captivity either.
He can't. He's obviously proven to be too dangerous.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Somebody said that at work, and I was like, maybe Penguin will have some information on that. So I'm glad you told me. And as a penguin, I would think you generally
always,
be not
always concerned. Always concerned about the killer whales.
Do you think, I'm going to put you on the spot, do you think that killer whales in general should be trained?
I don't think any of those shows should happen myself.
How about
I've been to a couple.
Yeah. I've never seen one.
I was down in San Diego. I saw one. And in Orlando, we saw one. And, first of all, I have absolutely no desire for zoos or any kind of things like that anyway. And that's all this is.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to the aquarium in Boston. I've been to the aquarium in New York, and all they are just glorified zoos.
Mm-hmm.
Where the animals are kept in cramped, no matter how much area you give.
It's a whale in a swimming pool.
Yeah, it's cramped quarters, and it's out of the norm. And what was the movie Free Willy? What was that about?
I didn't see it,
but what it's about. I mean, it was about
this whale.
It's about
getting this whale out of the swimming pool.
Yeah, so, come on. So, we made a mistake in capturing this, and I don't know how we got him, but, he was captured, and now he's trained. And he obviously is not trained as well as people might think he is. And I don't care how much the woman who died loved him, or how she would have blamed herself for it, or maybe he was just playing, or maybe, somebody's dead.
And it's the whale that was the direct cause.
Yeah, and I think that's got to be it.
Wow. What about dolphins?
Is it any worse, any better to train them to sniff out explosives or, you know, do the stuff that they do with them?
What about the put-on shows?
Those dolphin shows are ridiculous.
Really? You know, I've heard about people swimming with dolphins, and the dolphins actually getting sexually aggressive with the human females. I don't know. I didn't see it, so I don't know.
Yeah, to me it's just another example of how stupid we are as a society sometimes.
Yeah, and there was a story on the news this morning, all these tears and, the show must go on.
Yeah. Give me a break.
So, Colin Screaming Argonauts is opposed to animal, dog, and pony shows.
Absolutely.
Even if it involves swimming things.
Yeah, absolutely. Dog and dolphin shows.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think these are very intelligent animals. I think they're very dangerous animals. Interesting about dolphins. I like what you said. I've always, I was raised on Flipper, and I've always had a kind of a soft spot in my heart for dolphins. But I have to rethink my position about capturing and training dolphins. Although, would you? See, Peter will go so far as to say we shouldn't own pets. That we take care of pets, but we don't own them. They don't talk about an animal's owner. You're cool with dogs and cats, right?
Well, yeah, because they're domesticated. At this point, they're domesticated, and if you take good care of them,
right,
and if you properly have them spayed and neutered and that sort of thing, yeah, I don't have any trouble with that. I'm not Bob Barker.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Because
I'm down screaming, but
I agree with you. To me, the interesting distinction is with dolphins.
I mean, is there anything sadder than going into a zoo and seeing a bunch of tired lions?
Yeah.
Who are
and clearly not living. Free on the range.
It's just sad.
Yeah, I think you make a strong point. And we may have to revisit this, but I like what you said. I think it's worth thinking about.
All right. Well, listen, our time is just about up.
Yeah.
As we promised.
A little more yogi-isms.
Couple of yogis to get us out of here.
Baseball 5 minutes with yogis or whatever. All right. So some more next on my list, just going down the list of yogi-isms. This is when asked – what would he do if he found $1 million? Yogi answered, I'd find the fellow who lost it, and if he was poor, I'd return it. We just love Yogi on Colin's Screaming Argonauts.
That's obviously one that there's a grain of truth to it, but we're just not used to putting words together in that sort of order.
Yeah, it's English. There's no question. Yeah. It's English.
It's English, yeah, for sure.
It's not a malapropism.
Nope, it's not.
It's a problem with it, though.
It's like the restaurant one,
Yeah. It's true. All right, number 6 on my list. Think, how the hell are you going to hit and think at the same time? Well, I that's brilliant. I mean,
that's Zen-like.
It absolutely is. That's exactly what it is. They say that baseball, you have the decision to hit a baseball in 0.2 seconds.
Right.
You have 0.4 seconds to actually commit the act of hitting a baseball. You can't be running through your strategy while you have 0.4 seconds to do this. So
right.
So he's right on target there.
Absolutely.
Yogi says you've got to be very careful if you don't know where you're going because you might not get there. And who could argue, really?
That's a weird one.
Yeah. He's got a bunch of them about traveling.
Yeah. Give me one more.
All right. I knew I was going to take the wrong train, so I left early. What can you say?
It's a classic. I mean, I know that I have said for sure, I know I'm going to get lost, so I'm going to leave 15 minutes early.
I don't think that's that stupid.
I don't either.
I would say the same thing, which just goes to show that the Colin Screaming Argonauts thinks that Yogi Berra is a genius.
Uh-huh.
That's all I have to say.
I agree 110%.
Oh, God, please don't say that. Of all the cliches in the world, There's nothing that I hate more than 110%.
Well, let's drill down on that a little bit. Let's figure that out, okay? All right. Max, as always,
it was
it's been fun.
It was fast.
It was serious. It was fun. It was good. Thank you, Pat Robertson.
Thank you, Yogi Berra. Thank you, Yogi Berra. Kevin Smith. What a crew to reference. What a show. This was a great show.
That was. Where else could you write down that you're going to talk about
Pat Robertson. Yogi Berra.
And Kevin Smith. And tie them all together.
You just don't hear that kind of wisdom every day.
No, you don't. Good night,
baby. Good night. That is genius.
Stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screams.